Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm Soundcheck producer Joel Meyer. John Schaefer is away this week. And ahead on the show today, the story of the elusive Nigerian musician William Onyebor. During the 1970s and 80s, he created some truly great synth funk, and his music is the subject of an upcoming tribute at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Also, Daniel Alarcon is the author of the acclaimed novel At Night We Walk in Circles. He'll join us with a Pick 3 playlist that includes classics of hip-hop and jazz, and a guitar virtuoso from Alarcon's native Peru. But first, it's time to relax. If you've joined us this week, you know that we've been on a mission to compile the most relaxing playlist ever. We've been asking our listeners and guests to submit their song picks for the playlist, so to the voicemail box.
Hi, this is Philip in Brooklyn, New York. I think the most relaxing song, at least right now for me, is Codex by Radiohead. It's a song that I listen to when I need a psychological muscle relaxer.
Jump off the end into a clear light. No one around.
Hi, my name is Jerry. I'm from North Plainfield, New Jersey. I think the most relaxing song I've ever heard is called Genesis by Jorma Kaukonen. It's a combination of the mellow sound of it, the chords that have this really soothing quality, but also the lyrics that talk about this sort of crossroads in your life and a time when you need to step back and pause.
Time's come for us to pause. Think of living as it was. Into the future we must cross. I'd like to go with you. And I'd like to go with you.
That's the song Genesis by the guitarist Jorma Kaukonen, the most relaxing song ever, according to our listener Jerry. And before that, Philip picked Codex by Radiohead. Well, those picks and many, many more are on a playlist called The Most Relaxing Playlist Ever, and we've shared it with the world on soundcheck.org. Thanks to everyone who sent us a song, and if you want to find out if your suggestion made my top 10 list, well, head over to soundcheck.org. Let's kick off the show with a trio that's been making soul-stirring music for 35 years. Actually, even longer if you consider that guitarist Wendell Holmes and his bass-playing brother Sherman grew up making music together. Along with drummer Popsy Dixon, they are the Holmes Brothers. They've just released a new album called, appropriately, Brotherhood, and the songs on it explore many of the styles they've tackled over the years. Rock, blues, gospel, country, and much more. They're here to play songs from Brotherhood, and they'll start us out with the song Stayed at the Party. It's the Holmes Brothers live in the Soundcheck studio.
Yes, I stayed your mind. If I only knew you were gonna live this long. We've been hanging out where it didn't belong. But I stayed at the party.
That is the Holmes Brothers here in the Soundcheck studio performing live. We heard the song Stayed at the Party. Taking the lead vocals there, Wendell Holmes at our piano. Also, you heard his older brother, Sherman Holmes, playing bass and singing backups, and also Popsy Dixon singing backups and playing our drum kit. Well, to all three of you guys, the Holmes Brothers, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Wendell, you started out our session today with, I think, my favorite song on the album. Stayed at the Party Too Long, the chorus of that song. What kind of party are we talking about here?
You know what? Yeah. That's funny you ask that, Joel. Actually, I wrote that song when I was a young man, when I could hang out and party day after day, night after night. Never got tired. Now I can hardly catch my breath.
So this isn't like your average Thursday night right now.
That was my party song from years ago.
So it's your party song, and why bring it to this brand new record?
Well, you know what? I don't want my kids and my grandkids to go through the same thing.
So it's words of caution.
Absolutely, words of caution.
All right. Sherman, Wendell, you're the brothers in the band. Popsy Dixon, you're described as a brother in spirit. You guys have been playing together formally as the Holmes Brothers since basically the late 70s,
That's
right?
That's correct, yes.
So more than 35 years of playing together. It's been a while since you've been here on Soundcheck. You were with us last in 2007 behind the record State of Grace. Right. A lot of stuff has happened to you guys since
Absolutely.
Then. You released a record called Feed My Soul in 2010. Wendell, a little diagnosis of cancer and some treatment. You feeling all right?
Doing good so far. So far, so good.
You look good, and you guys sound really great.
Thank you so much.
You know, I mentioned that State of the Party is one of my favorite tracks on the album, but there's another track on the album, Sherman, Amazing Grace, familiar song to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Is this the first time that you guys have recorded Amazing Grace?
No, this is not the first time.
It's not.
For Real World many years ago.
Okay. Is it a tricky decision to record that song? It's something that is such an in-the-moment kind of number. What's it like to put it on a record?
Well, I tell you, you know, we kind of insisted that we put it on this particular record because in our live performances, that's the first thing people ask us for is Amazing Grace. And so we want to have it to sell them.
Well, there you go. Totally.
We call it posterity.
Well, Amazing Grace is on the album Brotherhood, along with 8 original songs.
Yes.
How did you choose the covers that are on the record?
Well, some of those were chosen by us, and some were chosen by others, like
Bruce Iglor
and
Glenn Potcher.
Well, tell us about Driving in the Driving Rain. Where does this come from?
Well, this is a song that Bruce suggested.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we'd ever heard it before.
And we liked it.
And you liked it. You gave it the thumbs up, and you gave it the green light. You know, speaking of driving, I mean, you guys are still a hard touring band, a favorite on the festival circuit. Does anyone keep track of how many miles you guys put on every summer?
No, but it's a lot, I can tell you. We don't keep track, but it's a lot of miles.
And is it mostly in a car?
Well,
a lot of times in a van, in a truck.
In a truck. Then I say half and half with flying.
Okay. Maybe, Popsy, you can take this. When you guys are in the tour van, the tour vehicle, this is something we ask a lot of people that come through the Soundcheck studio. What do you guys listen to when you are in the van?
Well, basically, listen to a little bit of everything.
Okay. Well, so what's a recent example?
Wendell like a lot of blues. Sherman like jazz, and I like gospel.
Are there ever fights, disagreements?
No, not really.
We learned to stay away from that many years ago.
You've managed to balance that.
See, one thing we don't do, that is, we do not share hotel rooms.
Really?
No.
And when did that stop?
Oh. 30 years ago.
30 years ago. That's sage wisdom. Don't share hotel rooms. Musicians, take note. Well, you guys, the Holmes Brothers, it's great to have you here in the studio. Let's hear another song from you. This song, as we mentioned before, Driving in the Driving Rain. It's off of their new album, Brotherhood. They're here with us live in the studio, the Holmes Brothers on Soundcheck.
Driving in the driving rain. Dark as night, I can't see a thing. I'm driving in the driving rain. Gonna run this road till it's in your arms again. Loving you was so insane. Put me away, pull me back again. Driving in the driving rain. Can't see the road, can't see the light. Wind is howling, hold his wheel so tight. Wind rising, every turn. Through it all, woman, my love for you still burns. Driving in the driving rain. Gonna run this road till you're in your arms again. I'm driving in the driving rain. Loving you was so insane. Put me away, pull me back again. Driving in the driving rain. Maybe tomorrow the sun will shine. You realize you meant to be mine. Right now, baby, whoa, it's a hurricane. You bring me nothing, nothing but pain. Across the sky, this old Ford begins to slip and slide. The wind is wet, wind is broke. You don't know I can't. I ain't giving up yet. Driving in the driving rain. Gonna run this road till it's in your arms again. I'm driving in the driving rain. Driving in the driving rain. I'm driving in the driving rain. Driving in the driving rain.
The Holmes Brothers here in the Soundcheck studio performing live. That song, Driving in the Driving Rain, featuring lead vocals from Sherman Holmes, also playing the bass, his brother Wendell Holmes playing guitar, and Popsy Dixon behind our drum kit. You can catch the Holmes Brothers Saturday at Iridium and Friday, next Friday, May 2nd, at Club Helsinki in Hudson, New York. You guys now are based in Baltimore, right?
I live in Baltimore. They live in Virginia.
They live in Virginia. Okay. But you guys are no stranger to New York.
We lived in New York most of our lives.
I mean, Wendell and Sherman, you're from Christchurch, Virginia.
Right.
And Sherman, did you come to New York first?
I came first.
And what was that like, moving from a relatively small town, Christchurch, to New York in late 60s?
1959.
Oh.
Definitely a different pace. And I was like a stranger in a strange land.
Where did you stay when you got here?
I stayed in New Rochelle. Stayed there for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
My brother came up. Then we got a band. We started doing things together, you know.
And Wendell, what did you find when you came up to visit your brother Sherman?
When I came up to visit Sherman, I was very blessed and lucky because he was playing with Jimmy Jones at the time, who had a great big hit record, mm-hmm. crossover record,
mm-hmm.
called Handy Man. I think James Taylor and some other people did it later, but it was a big hit. And I got to my first gig was with Jimmy Jones for $15 a night. The thief. Big money.
I don't have any like grounding there, so I'm like $15. Is that good? Is it bad? That sounds bad.
That's bad, man.
It's bad. Okay. Popsy, how did you end up hooking up with the Holmes Brothers?
Well, I met them in New York in 1967.
That's right.
See, because I was born in Virginia Beach. I came to New York when I was 3 months old. I lived here for 62 years. Then I moved back to Virginia.
Huh. And so what's that been like for you now returning to Virginia?
Well, I kind of like it, but I still got the thriving for New York City.
You do. What do you guys like about New York when you come back to visit?
Entertainment.
Are we talking Broadway? Are we talking concerts? Are we talking what?
Well,
theater?
All of the above, you know. You got to remember, it's a city that was so nice they had to name it twice, New York. You know? Everybody loves New York.
Yep.
I'm talking with the Holmes Brothers here in the Soundcheck studio. I'm Joel Meyer in today for John Schaefer. We've been speaking with Wendell Holmes, Sherman Holmes, and Popsy Dixon. Collectively, they are the trio, the Holmes Brothers. Guys, it's been really wonderful having you back here on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
When I think about how good God has been to the Holmes Brothers, I gotta run back.
Whoa.
When's that come?
Well. Up next, we talk with the novelist Daniel Alarcon. His most recent book is called At Night We Walk in Circles, and Daniel Alarcon will join us with a Pick 3 playlist of his favorite songs. I'm Joel Meyer, in for John Schaefer this week. This is Soundcheck.
3, that's a magic number. Yes, it is. It's the magic number.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer, in today for John Schaefer. Today's Pick 3 playlist comes from the Peruvian-born, Alabama-raised, San Francisco-based author Daniel Alarcon. Alarcon's most recent novel is called At Night We Walk in Circles. It's funny, sad, and keeps you guessing throughout the book until the very last page. And for all those reasons, the book was named on many year-end best-of lists in 2013. Welcome, Daniel.
It's good to be here, Joel.
Thanks for coming in. You've picked out 3 songs that are going to maybe tell us a little bit about you. But first, we should probably hear a little bit about your book. I'm going to do my best to give a thumbnail sketch of what is a really, really complicated, complex novel that's really beautiful. And I'm going to try and do it, and then you can just shoot me down.
I promise. I promise to shoot you down.
The book revolves around this young artist, this young actor named Nelson, who is cast in a play called The Idiot President, which is celebrating its like 15th anniversary, and it was a piece of work that was inspired after some really violent political uprising in a country that may or may not be Peru, the country of your birth.
It's sort of an anonymous
South American country.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of hooks up with the writer of the play, Henry. Then they sort of take the show on the road, so to speak, and go out into the countryside. And then the plot gets even more complicated from there and spirals out into all these different plots.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the primary story, it's about a young man at a stage of his life where he's put off making big decisions about who he wants to be. And before going off on tour with his hero. Henry's not just any old playwright, it's his hero. This is a big deal for him because it's the first time he's really leaving the city. He's always thought that he was going to emigrate to the United States because his brother's living here, but he's never been able to. He's never actually gotten a visa. He's kind of got this on again, off again, very complicated relationship with a girlfriend slash ex-girlfriend. You know, he kind of goes off into the countryside with Henry and Pata Larga, the other member of the theater troupe. And in the course of doing so, they run headlong into Henry's past, Henry's very troubled past.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that collision between a troubled young man named Nelson and Henry's complicated, violent, incendiary past that ends up being the crux of the novel.
And if that isn't, you know, enough mystery, there are all these different pieces of personal history that crop up and sort of are relived or pantomimed kind of. There's also a narrator that is telling the story, and which is, you know, early in the novel, you sort of you get a first person reference and you're like, oh, wait a minute, there's a narrator telling this. And that becomes something you're a little bit curious about throughout the book, about the story that this narrator is telling and who this person is.
Yeah, I mean, I was curious about it too because you know, writing a novel is not like a, you know, like making a souffle. You know, you don't follow a recipe. You're constantly, as if I've ever made a souffle. I don't know why I have just said that.
it totally made sense to me.
You just don't know what you're doing. I mean, at least I don't. I can spend 5 years without knowing what direction I'm going in. And that voice, that narrative voice, dropped in. And I was curious about it, and it was my hope that the reader would be curious as well, that the reader would want to find out two things. You know, who was Nelson and what happened to him, and who is this narrator and why are they telling the story?
The book is called At Night We Walk in Circles, and I'm talking with Daniel Alarcón. He is the Peruvian-born, San Francisco-based author behind the book. I'm Joel Meyer in today on Soundcheck for John Schaefer. So born in Peru, you didn't live there very long. You lived there for until maybe about three and then moved to the U.S. When we asked you to come up with three songs that you love, you picked a song by an artist that I don't know a lot about but is Peruvian. So maybe you can introduce me to the late musician Oscar Aviles.
Oscar Aviles, you know, if you know anything about música criolla, Creole music from Peru, then you've heard Oscar Aviles' music before. You've heard him play guitar, and I brought him up because, you know, I was a kind of angsty suburban adolescent who rejected everything my parents wanted to teach me.
You were growing up in Birmingham, Alabama?
Absolutely. And, you know, I played guitar and I was listening to Jimi Hendrix and, Zeppelin. And those were my guitar heroes when I was 12, 13, 14. And, of course, my parents would put on Oscar Aviles and I would immediately start yawning because I was an unsophisticated idiot, basically. I'm not sure when exactly I started listening to this music, and I know when it was. I inherited my father's record collection.
Oh, okay.
And I had all this old wax of Oscar Aviles, Sambo Cabero, Eva Ion, you know, these amazing, amazing Creole musicians that I had, of course, had just not even troubled myself to give it a real listen. And Oscar Aviles is just a magnificent guitar player.
Well, let's give people a chance to hear Oscar Aviles. He just passed away earlier this month. This song is called Cuando Llora Mi Guitarra. Cuando Llora Mi Guitarra, a song by Oscar Aviles, the Peruvian musician, a song picked by my guest Daniel Alarcón, the novelist behind the book At Night We Walk in Circles. Daniel, that is a beautiful track.
It is. It's lovely. I mean, the intricacy of the guitar, you know, it's I guess, you know, in defense of my own, you know, adolescent ignorance, you know, you get really enthralled with virtuosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you lose or what you don't understand at that point is also restraint, silences, you know, even kind of the delicacy of syncopation, the way melodies can fragment and then, you know, come back together. I mean, all those things that when I was a young guitarist, I just wanted to see, you know, Jimi Hendrix burn his guitar. And I didn't, it was like I didn't even understand that he was playing, you know.
So do you still play guitar?
No, I actually just recently I had a really nice jazz guitar, kind of hollow body, beautiful guitar that was sitting in a closet unplayed for years. And a friend of mine, the Chilean novelist Alejandro Zambra, was visiting in town, and he'd just gotten robbed, and that someone had broken into his house and stolen his guitar.
Oh no!
And so I just gave it to him, because it's, wow. An instrument like that should be played.
Sure.
I think that. You know, I've moved to the ukulele now, which is easier to carry, more mobile.
I think we are in the same boat, Daniel, because yeah. I used to play guitar, I used to play bass, but did it very poorly and had no future in it. But I, too, have moved to the ukulele because it's like it's the most fun, convenient instrument you can find.
It's fun, convenient, and it's I have two kids now, so it's really great with the kids.
And if they break it.
It doesn't
buying
matter.
Another one is like less than 100 bucks.
Exactly.
I'm speaking with Daniel Alarcon, the novelist behind At Night We Walk in Circles. He's giving us a Pick 3 playlist here on Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer, sitting in for John Schaefer today. So you don't play the guitar much anymore, but before we turned on the microphone today, you said that you do also do some DJing, and for a while did it very intensely.
I wouldn't say super intensely. It was just really fun. I mean, in maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when was it? It was 2007. I think I went to Colombia with my friend Federico and my friends Federico and Meili, and we went to this music festival in Cali called the Petronio Alvarez, which is music from the Pacific Coast of Colombia. And the parties that we went to that week were just extraordinary. And we said, oh, you know what? We should start a party in Oakland, where we were living at the time. And so we did. We started a party called La Pelanga. I built on my father's collection and then spread out into other types of Peruvian music, cumbia, specifically Peruvian cumbia, and then a lot of salsa and vallenato and even champeta, which I really love. And then, you know, just mix it in also with some sucus, Haitian music from the 70s, you know, just really eclectic. That was the whole point of the pelanga. A pelanga is actually a kind of soup that you drink, that you have in Colombia, where they mix basically the tripe of all different types of meat. Mm-hmm. So the idea behind the la pelanga was, you know, we do it all. You know?
Throw everything in.
Whatever you throw in a pelanga soup works, and whatever you play at a pelanga party, you know, it would work. And for a while, we were getting really great, very open crowds who were willing to dance to anything,
mm-hmm.
As long as it was good, and it was really a lot of fun.
So pick number two comes from the De La Soul album Balloon Mindstay, which is 1993. So I'm going to guess that this is putting you on like the tail end of your angsty teenage years. Have you graduated from Jimi Hendrix and you're moving into hip hop, or where does hip hop fit into your music fandom?
You know, high school. So 93, I guess I was in 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, growing up where I grew up, hip-hop is very related to driving. You know, it's great music to, like, rolling your window down.
So when you're growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, you have to drive a lot, and this is the music that you want to drive to.
Yeah, absolutely. Get there faster.
And, you know, we start out every installment of our Pick 3 series with something from 3 Feet High and Rising, the De La Soul album. But you've picked Balloon Mind State, a later album, their last album produced by Prince Paul. What do you like about this record?
From beginning to end, it's a solid, solid piece. It's funny, you know, which I think it was an antidote to a lot of the harder hip hop that
right,
I was listening
serious,
to.
Right, very serious, very grim.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in some ways, and I mean, people, you know, we can sort of dissect the different strands of hip hop that have emerged, but there was a kind of hip hop that was very, very, very funny, open and inviting, specifically to someone who was not growing up in, you know, I listened to Nas, but I'm not from Queensbridge and I've never been there, and it's not a reality that I could appreciate beyond sort of a human novelistic level. You know, Illmatic is a novelistic description of a place that I've never been, and I could appreciate it. But, you know, you get a song like Ego Trip and you see the video and you're really laughing. And that's a very different way for someone who's not, you know, from a hip-hop community to engage with that kind of music.
It's a track that blends just great production from Prince Paul, but also satire of all the things that are going on in the hip-hop world at the time. This is Ego Trippin' Part 2 by De La Soul from the album Balloon Mind State.
Yep, yep, big truck, a man's rolling in town. How you do? How you do? I got the joint to make you jump because I'm heading eastbound. Tired of the merry-go-round and around. And everybody's talking about your stuff funny, but they're still telling lies to me. I got the trees in my backyard and it's hard for them to tell a lie to me. And who's the foot? I'm the foot, but who's stepping?
Ain't no.
You know where I'm stepping. Skirts play with it cause I'm slick like that. I'm the greatest MC in the world. You got to give me mine cause I'm heavy when I weigh it. Watch the way I say it.
Ego trip.
I changed my pitch up, smacked my bitch up, I never did it. The flavor's being bucked, but brothers ain't getting it. Get it? Or else you're a goner. When I rolls over, you're gonna have to wanna lamp. Cause it's the Chattanooga champ. Taking a train, taking a train, taking a train, taking a train, train.
Now I'm something like a phenomenon. I'm something like a phenomenon. Well, I'm the
Ego Trippin' Part 2 from De La Soul, 1993, from the album Balloon Mind State, picked by my guest Daniel Alarcón, author of the novel At Night We Walk in Circles. Daniel, let's move on to your third pick, and you've come up with a pretty eclectic pick three today. We've heard Oscar Aviles from Peru, we've heard De La Soul from New York, and we're going to now move to Charles Mingus. And when does Charles Mingus come into play for you?
Well, in the midst of all that in high school, I was in a band, and I was in a band that morphed from playing kind of like wanting to be like the Chili Peppers to playing like rock covers of Ice Cube to playing jazz. And we were never
good. All in what time frame? Like, I mean, how fast did that evolution happen?
That happened from like ninth grade to, to 12th grade.
Okay.
And I mean, all of this was done very poorly, I should say. And, you know, we weren't any good, but we had a lot of fun, and we had a quality which is both positive and can be very you know, mortifying later, which is we had sincere artistic ambition, which if you don't have talent to match, it can be devastating. We tried, but one of the things that we always wanted to do was play a Mingus song. But you know, they were the you know, we just didn't have the chops, you know. But so I got really into Mingus. I read Beneath the Underdog. I read the Brian Priestley biography like in 10th grade. And one of the things that I got very fascinated by was that relationship between a composer, Mingus, and his virtuoso. And even later, I've become really, really into the notion of how a composer imagines what's possible in music because they have at their disposal someone of the talent of, say, Eric Dolphy, you know?
The saxophonist.
The saxophonist, yeah. So this particular track I picked isn't Eric Dolphy. It's Jackie McLean that you'll hear, who's, you know, a tremendous artist in his own right. But the thing that, that I've actually written about in fiction, in very short stories, I've had Mingus as a character, is the depression that he fell into after Dolphy died. That he was sort of unable to imagine how he was going to write music if he didn't have this you know, three instrument monster who could play a 9-octave range to express that music.
You're going to leave us with the Mingus track Pithecanthropus Erectus. Why this track?
Well, because it's so grim, you know, and the mood is very similar in parts to the mood of the novel. I've read a lot about Mingus and different memoirs you wrote, and I liked very much something that I actually stole for the novel. Somebody asked him, and I think it was this song, but I'm not sure, if he could have the chord changes for a particular song, and Mingus drew a coffin. he would teach it to him, and someone asked, well, write out the chord changes for me. And Mingus drew a coffin and gave it to him. So when I have the Henry do that to his actors, and as you listen to this song, imagine Mingus, you know, getting a Sharpie and drawing a coffin and handing it to you. And it really is, you know, has that mood, you know, that atmosphere, which I'm just a sucker for that.
Huh. A little piece of musical insight into the novel by Daniel Alarcon, At Night We Walk in Circles. We're going to end with Daniel's pick by Charles Mingus, Pithecanthropus erectus. Daniel, it's been a real pleasure having you on Soundcheck.
Thank you, Joel.
At the beginning of the show, I mentioned that we've shared the most relaxing playlist ever on soundcheck.org. Here's a couple of your picks.
Hi, this is Rachel. I live in Manhattan in Chelsea, and I'm pretty sure that the best song to sleep to and the most relaxing is Harvest Moon on Neil Young's Harvest Moon.
When we were strangers, I watched you.
Hello, this is Mike calling from Plainfield, New Jersey. My nomination for the most relaxing song in the world is Drive by the Cars.
Who's gonna tell you when it's too late? Who's gonna tell you things aren't so?
Very first time I heard it, I was pretty young in high school and was going through a very turbulent time. And I don't know, that song came on and everything was okay. Thank you very much.
Who's gonna drive you home tonight?
Just two of the songs from our listener-curated playlist called The Most Relaxing Playlist Ever. It's up on our site now on soundcheck.org. Up next, William Onyebor released 8 albums of synth funk in Nigeria in the late 1970s and early 80s, and then he disappeared from the musical map. We'll hear his story up next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer, in today for John Schaefer. In the background, you're hearing music from a recent compilation called Who is William Onyebor? Onyebor is a Nigerian musician who released 8 ultra-rare albums between 1977 and 1985. His music is hard enough to describe, but even harder to describe is the man himself. We know very little about him. Eric Wells Nystrom of the record label Luwakabop helped put together the aptly named compilation Who is William Onyebor? And Ahmed Galab is one of the music directors of 2 upcoming tribute shows at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. To both of you, welcome and hello.
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 Now, there is a really great story, a sort of very mysterious tale about William Onyebor, and we'll get into that in a second. But I wanted to ask you guys, maybe Ahmed, we'll start with you. When did you first encounter his music?
I first heard his music several years ago when Luwakabop released a compilation called World Psychedelic Classics Volume 3, Love is a Real Thing. And his track, Better Change Your Mind, was on that. And it was right around the time that I was kind of starting and cultivating the vision for my band Sin Cane, and Better Change Your Mind was a really, really, really big influence. So it was near, I think, around 2004, 2005.
And what was your first impression?
I felt a connection to it deeply because it brought me back to my African roots, but also had a very distinct influence from American music, which is something that I really wanted to bring to what I was trying to do with my own music. And then as I learned a little bit more about him, I learned that his process of making music was very, very similar to mine. So it was very serendipitous.
Eric, you work for the record label Luwaka Bop, who issued the compilation that I was talking about just a second ago. When did you first hear William Onyebor's music?
Well, the first time I got into it really deep was when I started at Luwaka Bop in the summer of 2012. And at that point, Yale had been working on this compilation for about 4 years.
That's Yale Evalev, who's sort of the maestro of the label.
Exactly, the co-owner with David Byrne. And at that point, took about 4 years to get Mr. Onyebor to agree to do this record. And for the past year, Mr. Onyebor had refused to speak about himself. So Yale kind of told me that, okay, we're ready to do this record, but I don't know how we're going to do it.
All right. Well, we're gonna get into that story a little bit, in which you play a primary role. But let's hear some of the music. This is the song Good Name by William Onyebor. That's the song Good Name by William Onyebor, the subject of the compilation Who Is William Onyebor, which is out now. It was released last year. And also, William Onyebor's music is the subject of the show Atomic Bomb, which is at Brooklyn Academy of Music on May 2nd and 3rd. Ahmed Galab is one of the co-music directors of that. He's also the guitarist and singer for the New York electro soul group Sin Kane, and also here Eric Wells Nystrom, label manager for the record label Luwaka Bop. Eric, I'm just going to ask you the question that's on the compilation itself. Who is William Onyebor? How much do we know about him?
We don't know that much. We know a little bit more by time. We learn a little bit more about him. But if you think about that it's taken 5 years to get to this point, what we know, it's practically nothing. And he wants it to be like that.
So these records were made in the late 70s, the early 80s. Ahmed, how unusual was this music even then? I mean, when I hear it, I think this is some incredible use of synthesizers. Mm-hmm. It's sort of disco music, but it's not quite disco music. It sounds like a lot of music that I feel like I've heard being made here in New York over the last 10 years.
Right.
How unusual was it back in the 70s and the early 80s for this music to be made?
Well, if you think about it, he is making... He made music back then pretty similarly to how people are making music now. He did it all himself. He recorded everything himself. He played all of his own instruments, and he even pressed his own records. And it's
his own pressing plant,
yeah,
to actually manufacture the records.
Yeah, and it's very similar to how, you know, kids make music now, and they call it bedroom mm-hmm. music or whatever. So it's unusual that people are making music like that now, and it's very modern. But he did it in the late 70s, which makes it even more so. You know, in a rural town in Nigeria, it's pretty wild that he was able to do such a thing.
There's a really great documentary about William Onyebor called Fantastic Man. Dan Snaith performs under the name Caribou, and here he is describing the sound of William Onyebor.
The thing that sets his use of synthesizers and his later music apart is that he's using sequencers and drum machines to create this kind of perfectly robotic loop, and using repetition as a primary element in making the music, which was an idea that was definitely happening in dance, the kind of beginnings of dance music. He was just kind of developing the same kind of ideas that were happening at that time in the United States, but independently.
That's the musician Dan Snaith, also known as Caribou, talking about the music of William Onyebor in the documentary Fantastic Man, directed by Jake Sumner, also produced by my guest Eric Wells Nystrom of Luwaka Bop Records. Also with me here is Ahmed Galab. Soundcheck listeners will know him from his performance on the show about, 2 years ago with his band Sin Cane, based here in New York. Ahmed was born in Sudan. We heard a little bit earlier Ahmed's connection to the music of William Onyebor. But Ahmed, you are, along with Monty Mark, the keyboardist that a lot of people know with his work with the Beastie Boys, yep, doing this show at BAM that is called Atomic Bomb, the music of William Onyebor. William is not going to be there, so this is essentially sort of a tribute show.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about the genesis of creating the concept of the show?
Eric actually came, he approached me about a year ago when we performed at Summer Stage with Femi Kuti, and he was there to interview Femi about the documentary. And he asked me if I knew his music, and I instantly flipped out. I was like, of course, this is such an important element to what I do. And one thing led to another, and we sat down, me, him, and Yale, and they said, we really want you to be involved and in helping us create the live show. So I went back and to my band, and I, kind of got them all together, and we spent a considerable amount of time, locked up in a little rehearsal space with a big chalkboard charting out exactly all the music of William Onyebor. And it was an amazing process, because it seems so simple when you listen to the music and it's so fluid and seamless, but it's actually really, really complicated. And tapping into his mind was incredibly inspiring.
The show is going to feature performances or appearances by David Byrne, Ahmed's band Sin Cane, Monty Mark, Alexis Taylor of Hot Chip, Pat Mahoney of LCD Sound System, and more. That's going on May 2nd and 3rd at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. It also goes to San Francisco and Los Angeles after that. I want to play the song Atomic Bomb, but Eric, I maybe want to know if you can set it up. This is about 1978. Why do you think this song is the song? And, it comes from the album Atomic Bomb, but is this a sort of signature William Onyebor track?
It is. He's at this time, this is 1978 in Nigeria, and this song I think is incredibly explosive and beautiful. I don't know how many hundreds and thousands of times I've played this song, but I still don't know what it's about. I think it's just fantastic, even though it's about the bomb maybe, but there's maybe other stories to it.
Well,
just like him.
Folks out there, you can try and figure out what it is about. Here it is. This is the song Atomic Bomb by William Onyebor.
I want to realize, man, the way I feel in me.
How do you feel?
I want to realize, we men, the way I feel in me.
How do you feel?
I'm gonna explode.
You mean you're gonna explode?
I'm gonna explode. Watch out. I'm gonna explode. Like
atomic bomb.
Atomic Bomb by William Onyebor. I'm here in the Soundcheck studio with Eric Wells Nystrom of the record label Luwaka Bop, which released the compilation Who is William Onyebor last year. Also with me is Ahmed Galab, the guitarist and singer. Eric, do you think that people are attracted to the William Onyebor story because there are so many gaps in his story and you can't find out all of his history the way that you can virtually any other artist on the internet?
Yeah, for sure. Today you can find out practically anything about anyone. And most people kind of also are told that that's how you market yourself. You tell everyone what you're doing. Mr. Onyebor also has a pretty fantastic biography. The rumors are that he studied cinematography in the Soviet Union. He started making movies. He ran his own record label and then stopped making music and ventured into different kinds of businesses. And then it continues that he, worked for the government, he met the president, and all these kinds of things. And you would think someone who has done all these amazing things would have a pretty great biography out there. But when you look for any of this online, there's nowhere any kind of verification that this is true.
In the documentary Fantastic Man, people keep saying over and over, if you want me to tell you things about him, I can. They won't necessarily be true. They're just all this these rumors that contradict each other, and it's very – it's frustrating, but it's also really fascinating. Eric, in as part of your work releasing this compilation on Luwaka Bop, you traveled to Nigeria, and you met him three times.
I eventually went out there, and I went to his town of Enugu, which is in the southeast, which is a lovely town, very isolated. And I didn't think that he actually would see me when I went out there. And I didn't expect that if he were to see me, that he would actually spend time with me.
This, I mean, this comes after Yale, from your label, making calls to him that really are, go something like this. Hello, is William there? Yes, this is me. Can we release your music? I don't really want to talk about my music. I just want to talk about Jesus. Click. That's pretty much, that's it's a paraphrase, but that's about how the conversation seems to go. Is music still a part of his life?
It is. It is. He is involved in the church. He preaches to the church and sometimes will play for the church in his community. But he's very, you know, anytime we speak about the music that we're putting out, anytime we speak about his old records, it feels like a very distant memory to him. It's been these rare occasions when he brings out an old record and he looks at the record and he looks at the songs and it's like he can't really remember what was on the records. But then he looks at it, he shows me his logo and, you know, he tells me how proud he is that he made the record more as a businessman than an artist. You know, he pressed his own records. He even did the shrink wrapping in his factory. You know, he did everything. And as a businessman, he's so proud of that. And I always think of him more as a businessman who did this for a business venture than as a, you know, what you would call an artist.
That's Eric Wells Nystrom. He's the label manager for the record label Luwaka Bop. Also here with me in the studio is Ahmed Galab, guitarist and singer for the New York electro soul group Sin Cane. And Ahmed is one of the co-music directors of this show, Atomic Bomb, that's coming up, a salute to the music of William Onyebor, at the Brooklyn Academy of Music on May 2nd and 3rd. Ahmed, you've done one show already at the Barbican in London, and also you said in Bristol as well, too.
Yeah, Colston Hall, yes.
Was it the Barbican show that featured Damon Albarn?
Yes, it was.
So Damon Albarn of Blur is a really, really big fan. I mean, I think someone who really is trying to help spread the gospel of William Onyebor.
Absolutely.
What was that show like?
It was great. He had a lot of energy, you know, and you could tell that he was the spirit of William Onyebor was inside him, and he really brought the crowd up on their feet when he did his performance. He sang Fantastic Man and played a lot of keyboard.
Since I came to know you, baby, I've been telling you how sweet you are. I've been telling you how good you are. Now I want you to try to tell me how you look.
You look so good, fantastic man.
Why, you know, for someone that hasn't encountered William Onyebor's music, and, you know, why, Ahmed, why should someone seek it out? What's special about it?
It's just, you know, my whole thing is that I'm attracted to universal music, music that anyone could listen to and enjoy, and that makes you feel good. And this music definitely falls into that category.
Eric, same question to you.
Well, as Ahmed was saying, the music speaks for itself. It's incredibly unique. I think what's also interesting here is that this is the first time that this music is ever performed live. Mr. Onyebor never performed live himself.
Even by Onyebor.
Even by Onyebor. when I went to see him in February, he explained that he never even intended to perform live. Yeah. And for someone who hears it the first time, I think we'll hear a lot of surprises. And I think people that come to the show will see a lot of surprises. At the Barbican in London, we had people standing on their chairs. That's a seated venue.
Yeah, it's not a dance club.
It's not a dance club. But people were standing on their chairs going nuts. People were trying to get on stage to dance. So I hope we can bring some of that to BAM as well.
The show is called Atomic Bomb, the music of William Onyebar. It's happening at the Brooklyn Academy of Music on May 2nd and 3rd, featuring appearances by David Byrne, Money Mark, Alex Taylor of Hot Chip, Pat Mahoney of LCD Sound System, and our friend Ahmed Galab, who's been here, the guitarist and singer of the group Sin Cane. And also Eric Wells Nystrom will probably be there of Lawaka Bop Records as well.
For sure.
Thanks to both of you for being on Soundcheck today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck. On Monday, we revisit one of our favorite recent conversations with actor and musician Hugh Laurie. You might know him for his starring role on the TV series House, but Hugh Laurie is also an accomplished blues singer and guitarist. John Schaefer talks with the British actor about his first encounter with the blues, and we hear some of his most recent album. That's coming up on Monday on Soundcheck. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, and Jason Isaac. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, Mike Katziff with Amy Pearl, and our intern, Ryan Kyloff. I'm the show's executive producer, Joel Meyer. For John Schaefer, this is Soundcheck.